G'day, welcome to the Midweek Podcast for this week. Today we are answering some questions and responding to some things that people have been talking about since the What About Suffering message on the weekend. So this is towards the end of our What About series in 2017, and on Sunday we talked about suffering. What about suffering? Does God cause suffering? What does it mean when we're suffering? Who is at fault? What's causing our suffering? All sorts of questions like that. Really encourage you to listen to that whole message if you haven't already, because the things that we're going to talk about today will or are framed from that whole message on Sunday. It's all on our website. You can listen in there. One of the questions that was asked is, in speaking about conversations that you have with family or friends who don't believe in God, one of the things you often hear is them say something like this: I have no interest in a God who allows such suffering, who allows a child to die, or who allows innocent people to be hurt, and so on. What magic one-liner or short response can we give to them so that they are challenged to rethink their idea of God? That's a great question, and I would love to be able to give you the one answer of this is the one thing that you need to say. Unfortunately, suffering, as we talked about on Sunday, is a really complicated thing, and suffering comes for all sorts of reasons. There is no one reason why we suffer. There are things like our creation being fallen and groaning, and so all of creation is suffering and causes other suffering. We talked about sin being existence in the world and in our own lives, and that causes us to suffer. Sometimes the decisions that we make, sometimes the things that other people do, and also the enemy, the devil, Satan, is around and causing suffering too. So there is no one reason. But I think that conversation can be helpful for people, because when people say that, you know, I can't accept a God who would allow this stuff to happen, they're kind of seeing God as a person who is has fine control over everything and is determining every outcome. Whereas what we talked about on the weekend is that God allows creation to continue in its path. God set up gravity, but if somebody falls, that gravity means that they'll hurt themselves, possibly even die. God has allowed creation to run its course, and also God allows human beings to run our course. He gives us free will to decide and to choose, even when we choose poorly or unwisely, or even in a way that hurts other people, even in a way that rejects Him. And so God doesn't actively step in and stop creation from running its course, or step in and stop human beings from running their course very often. Where it gets difficult is that we know that sometimes He does. And we love to see Him do that. We love to see a miraculous healing. We love to see it when a person is depending on God and He speaks to us and leads us and guides us. But more often than not, God allows creation to run its course. And so when someone says to you, I have no interest in a God who allows such suffering, you can talk about how God actually gives us free will. And the analogy of a parent is helpful. You know, as parents, sometimes we allow our kids to suffer because of the decisions that they've made, because we don't want to micromanage them. We don't want to control them. We want them to be able to make their own decisions, to choose and have creativity, to choose and have love, to choose and determine the path that is set out for them, that God has for them, to make those decisions. And so we allow our kids sometimes to run their course, even when it means suffering for them. And so that's something that I trust will be helpful to talk about, that it's not so much that God determines this person will suffer, but that God allows the world to continue, and suffering is part of our world. So God doesn't cause suffering. Suffering exists. But then we realize, and we talked about, that God always does something about suffering. Suffering is horrible and it does exist, but God always does something about it. Not always in the miraculous way that we're looking for, but He's always with us, and He's always turning suffering into something good. You know, all things work together. God makes all things work together for the good of those who love Him and according to His purposes. God is always at work in our suffering. He understands what we're going through. He's been through it Himself through the life and death of Jesus. God is always with you in your suffering. And so rather than blaming God for suffering, suffering exists, and God does something about it. And that's the kind of God that I have an interest in, a God who does something about suffering, who has entered into human suffering and helps me in my suffering, even turning the bad things in my life into good things. So I trust that that's helpful in the conversations that you have. Some of the other questions and concepts that that have been asked since the weekend are talking about how sometimes, you know, God disciplines those he loves. And Hebrews chapter 12 talks about this. It says that God, like a parent, will discipline his children. It says in verse 10 of Hebrews 12, our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline, like an earthly father, God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. So in that way, God's discipline, does that cause suffering for us? And I suppose in a way it does, but that's not really what I was speaking about on Sunday. You know, if you've committed your life to Jesus and you believe that God wants you to grow, that there are times that God will lead you to do things that will cause you pain. And so I can remember a time in my life when I was ready to move on from a situation, and I believe that God asked me to stay. I believe very clearly God asked me to stay in that situation, and it caused me more pain from my perspective to stay. But again, with the analogy of parents, as parents, sometimes we will ask our children to do things that we know are right and we know are the best thing to happen, but they experience pain from that. They experience the pain and potential suffering from that discipline. And so I would see that in a different category, possibly in the being faithful to God category, is one of the reasons why we suffer. You know, I said on the weekend from 1 Peter 4, sometimes we suffer because we're faithful to God and that attracts persecution from other people around us. Sometimes we experience suffering because of our faithfulness to God, because God has asked us to do something that, while difficult, is right and the best thing for us to do. So God never causes suffering in our life because of judgment, because he's unhappy with us. He doesn't visit judgment on us. But sometimes in following God, we will experience pain. He never promised that it would be easy, but he promised that he'd always be with us, always turning our suffering into good. Another thing that was talked about, and I just mentioned it, is this idea that God doesn't visit suffering on us or send judgment on us. And really, we explored this much more fully last year in the What About series, in the message where we talked about the Old Testament God versus the New Testament God. How can we see Old Testament God often as angry and judgmental and violent, whereas Jesus as God is much more loving and gentle, it would seem? And let me just point out to you really quickly something that we talked about in that message and in the podcast afterwards, which are both online. We'll link to them with this podcast in the notes. And you can also get a copy of the whole book, the What About book, from the website, and I'll link to that as well in the notes. But in the Old Testament, for example, with the flood, that God sent the flood to judge the world. But God sent a warning, and he left Noah as his sign of the judgment that was coming and the ark that Noah was building. And there was a way out. The people could have heard the message, heard the warning, and gotten out of the judgment by being rescued on the ark. That option was always there. And the warning was there in God's patience for, as far as we understand, over 100 years. That warning was before people. But nobody listened apart from Noah's family. And so finally, after that long period, God did judge the world. And in the New Testament, we find a very similar situation where God has sent Jesus as his warning and as his messenger for the judgment that is coming, that at the end of our life, God will judge us based on whether we've accepted him or not, or whether we've followed him. But also our way out of that suffering, out of that judgment, sorry, is there in Jesus. If we accept Jesus, we will not be judged based on what we've done here on earth. We'll be accepted because of Jesus. And so Jesus is our sign, the church is our sign, and Jesus is our way out of the suffering. And God is being very patient with humanity, but he does talk about through the Bible that there will come a time at the end of each of our lives and the end of the world when God will judge each person. And so God is the same throughout the Bible. But because of Jesus, in this time that we live in, this era of history, God is not judging people based on decisions that we've made in the here and now. God is not causing judgment right now for you because of something you've done or an attitude you have. God is loving you. God is blessing you. God is patient with you. And God wants you to walk with his son Jesus and accept Jesus, his forgiveness and his love and his salvation, so that you'll be saved from the judgment to come. And finally, what do I do if I think the devil is causing my suffering? And this idea that we have an enemy, someone who is against God, the accuser, Satan, who is come to rob and steal and destroy, to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes that we might have life, that we can turn to God in that. It is not a fair spiritual fight. Spiritual oppression can feel like a big deal to us, and it is, but to God it's not. God has already won. He has all power and authority, and so we can turn to him. In James, there's a line there that says, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you feel like you're under attack from the devil today, from the enemy, from the evil one, from Satan, whatever and however you might refer to that, then you can just quote that those words that God inspired in the book of James. I'm going to submit to God and I'm going to resist the devil and he will flee from me. James chapter 4 verse 7. If you are struggling today, if you are suffering today, you can turn to God. He is not causing judgment on you to make you suffer, but he understands what you're going through and he has love for you and compassion for you and he is with you in your suffering. So even if you don't know why you're suffering, even if there is no one reason, even if you feel like you're drowning in it, God invites you to turn to him, to come to his throne of grace where you'll find mercy and grace and love and forgiveness and strength and power when you need it the most today. That's my prayer for you. We're going to finish up this What About series on the weekend when we talk about other religions. What about other religions? What do we have in common, if anything, with those of other faiths or other religions? And how do we, as followers of Jesus, treat people of other faiths? That'll be our topic for the weekend and the midweek podcast next week. I hope you have a great week.